Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Love to Learn English podcast. Today I'm here with my good friend Catherine. Catherine is actually a dog trainer and she enters dog competitions called agility. In today's episode we will be talking about agility and we will also be talking about some dog related idioms.
Hey Catherine.
Hi Richard.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming again. So today we're going to have a slightly different conversation. We're going to start by talking about your experience with dog training and agility.
My favorite subject.
Your favorite subjects, yeah. So first of all, what is agility in terms of the word, not the competition just yet? So what does agility mean?
I think the word, if you're talking about humans, it's agility is to be agile, to be able to move, to be quite athletic. And it is the same with the dogs.
Yeah, so dogs that can move.
Is it the sport of agility is essentially a test of the skills and the ability of the dog, the individual dog?
So you're testing to see how the dog moves.
Yeah, I think like any sport, the most accurate runs that a dog does on a set course combined with their speed is the winner.
Nice. So please tell me a bit about how you started with dog training and agility. How did you get into this sport?
So when I started working at the dog groomers, I rescued Indy, my older dog, around the same time. And she's quite small. She probably comes up to my calf. She's a small dog and she's really agile. And I noticed this when I first had her. I went to go and watch the Crufts show with my sister, which is a huge dog show. And they have an agility demonstration there. So we were watching some of the small dogs and my sister and I, we looked at each other and we just said, Indy has to try this. So that's how I started. And she's a mixture of dogs. She isn't a specific breed, but she just has a natural ability. She's good at jumping. She learns really well. So that's how we started and why we ended up carrying on.
There are specific words, right, for dogs that are mixed and dogs that are pure?
Yeah, so a mixed dog or a crossbreed has different parents. So their parents may not look the same or they might be a mixture of a number of different breeds. So
like is that a mongrel?
Yeah, but I don't think you really say mongrel anymore. A mixed breed or a crossbreed, whereas
not politically correct. Dogs get offended.
It seems really cruel to call them mongrel. Like, Indy is a mongrel, but she's awesome. She's better than a lot of pedigree dogs. So a pedigree is a dog that's been specifically bred for the way it looks or the job that it does. Like a Spaniel or an Akita or a Husky dog are bred specifically for a job.
Right, okay, got you. You started by just seeing a competition and then you wanted to jump straight in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you love most about it? Because it is your favorite thing, right?
Yes, it is. I think the best thing is when you are teaching a dog a skill and they have no idea what you're expecting or what you want from them. And you put so much work and time in and you make it so fun for them. To then see them like a week or a month down the line and they know the behavior and they love giving it to you, like they love performing, that's the best thing. It's so much fun for the dogs. They get treats, they get food, they get toys for doing the right thing and they learn, and the bonding experience is very cool as well. I'm really close to both my dogs because we spend so much time learning together.
What's a treat?
A treat, like a little, a treat can be food or toy. So it's a reward for the dog. So for my older dog, Indy, her treats are food, bits of food. So when she does something right, she gets the food. For Juno, my younger dog, her treat is the toy. So when she was younger, I put a lot of work into playing with her and teaching her rules of a game which she loves, which is usually a tug toy. So the toy is an extension of me. And that's her treat. Her number one reward is being able to play with me.
Dogs are people pleasers.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
They just want to please.
Uh-huh. Indy, for me, Indy is more of a pleaser for me. Juno is more independent. She's more sassy. Yeah, she's sassy.
What do you mean by sassy?
If she doesn't want to do something, she isn't going to do it. She will do things on her own time, and she loves to learn. Mm-hmm. But with her, sometimes I think she almost wants to skip the learning part and just know what I want from her. So she gets the reward.
That's a great word, by the way, sassy.
Sassy. You can use it to describe anyone in your life or anything in your life.
So sassy is somebody or someone who doesn't want to do things when you ask them.
Does things on their own terms.
Yeah. Nice. Great. So what's the worst thing about it?
I don't know if there is a bad thing about it. It's really tough. So the agility competition season in the UK runs from around about April to October. So I don't have a lie-in or a lazy morning any weekend.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the shows involve travelling. So I have to drive 1 or 2 or 3 hours. So it's a lot of early mornings. That's not even a bad thing because it is so much fun. So it is worth it.
Well, it's like any sport, really.
Yeah, it requires a lot of dedication. It's quite expensive too.
Yeah.
So I've never sat down and worked out how much money I spend on agility.
I'm guessing you started and then stopped.
I got to a point where I thought, surely it can't be this much. And then I never looked at it again because I wouldn't not do it. It's so much fun. And the dogs love it, so it's worth it.
Nice. Tell me a bit about the dogs then. So you have two dogs.
I've got two dogs. Mm-hmm. Indy is a rescue dog. She's a small black terrier type dog. So she's little. She has a short coat. Her fur is really short.
Just explain. So when you say coat, you don't mean the dog's wearing a coat.
She's not wearing clothes. Her natural coat, like the fur that covers her, is
coat is also the name for the kind of
a jacket
fur for the for the dog as well as a jacket.
So we call it a coat. It's her fur, like her natural coverings, is short and neat. And she's sensitive. She is a people pleaser, like you say. She's really smart. She loves food. And then Juno is my younger dog. She's so sassy. She's crazy. Or I always say she's bonkers.
Bonkers. Okay, yes. That's another great word. So bonkers.
Bonkers might mean you're like a little bit wild, a little bit crazy. Like sassy, you do your own thing. Mm-hmm. She's always up for anything. She loves training. She's still really young. She finds it really hard to relax.
Yeah.
She always wants a job.
So you've got one sassy dog and one bonkers dog.
Oh no, the sassy dog is the bonkers dog.
Oh, they're both, okay.
Sorry. I basically have, Indy is an angel. Juno is not an angel. She's not a devil, but she's not an angel.
Nice.
She's crazy.
So they both got great names, I think.
Yes.
How did you choose their names?
They're both named after movie characters. So when I was younger, I would always watch the Indiana Jones films with my dad. And when Indy came to us from the rescue, they called her Shrimp.
Shrimp.
Which is, you know, like the fish.
That's not a good name.
But no, Shrimp also can mean something really small. Because she was so little, they called her Shrimp or Shrimpy. And I didn't like it because I wanted her to have a positive new name for her new house.
Yeah.
And when I would take her on a walk, I would always say, let's go on an adventure. And it really reminded me of Indiana Jones. So she became Indy. And Juno is named after an American film, Juno, where a young girl like gets pregnant. It's like a comedy type film that I always watched with my sister when I was a teenager. We just couldn't quote the whole film start to finish. It's so funny. So I always knew that I was going to call my second dog Juno.
How can someone start with agility then? So some people in the UK, some of the listeners will be in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them outside of the UK. Is it international?
It is international. Dog agility is huge in Europe. In a lot of European countries, it is actually recognised as a sport, which isn't here.
Yeah.
So there are things like in one of the European countries, you can't like dope your dogs.
Dope?
Yeah.
So dope meaning drug?
Yeah, to like enhance drugs that would enhance your performance. They test the dogs to make sure that they have not been doped.
Do you think that's common?
Because I don't think it's common. I think that a lot of people take it very seriously. I think there's a few different types of people that do agility. Some people do it for their career, so it is really important. You have some people that do it just for fun, so competitions are not important. I'm somewhere in the middle where I want to do well, but I also do it more for my dogs than for me. But the way I started was online, so through Facebook. There's lots of Facebook dog groups, dog agility groups, and then some people like commented the local clubs and things, so that's how I got into it.
How can people follow your exploits online? So just before you answer that, so exploits are kind of things you're doing?
Yeah, right? Exploits could be like the adventures you're going on, or the things that you like. For in this example, it would be like the way we train, or where I'm taking the dogs and things.
Yeah. So how can people follow your exploits online?
The dogs have got an Instagram page. It's called Indi Juno. So it's IndieJuno.
Okay, so you get lots of new followers from...
Yes. Hope to see you there.
Nice. So we're going to finish today by covering a few dog idioms. We have lots of idioms in English about dogs.
Yeah, these have blown my mind, because until you really look into these phrases, you don't realise how strange they are.
Oh, they're very strange. This is just a short list as well that we're going to take a look at, but there are actually many, 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 many more idioms about dogs. So
let's do these ones.
We'll start with the first one here, which is the dog's dinner. So what is the dog's dinner?
I think the dog's dinner is it when you have a bad meal?
The dog's dinner. So the dog's dinner is when something looks bad.
Yeah.
Right? So see. Like, yeah, so the dog's dinner is a situation, event, or piece of work that is chaotic, badly organized, or very untidy. So let's imagine that you have someone come to your house to repair the house,
uh-huh,
and they just make a mess.
Yeah.
Then you could say that this house
is the dog's dinner.
The dog's dinner. It just looks like... Because obviously when you prepare a meal for a dog, you don't...
Yeah.
You're not...
You don't look at it and think, I'd love some of this.
Yeah. So if something is the dog's dinner, it's just a mess. That's the first one.
This is my favourite one, doggy bag.
Doggy bag. So do you want to...
This is like when you're in a restaurant and you can't finish your food, you ask the waiter to pack it up to take it home.
Mm-hmm.
And in the UK, we call this a doggy bag, because typically it would be like you take your leftovers home for your dog.
Yeah. Although I don't have a dog. So when I ask for a doggy bag,
you are the dog.
Like a liar. This is not for a dog. I know it's not for the dog. You know it's
the
not
waiter
for the
knows
dog.
It's not for the dog.
This is me.
A really nice one. Let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah.
Which is where if you just leave... You're so much better at it. I know what they mean, but you're better at explaining them than me.
Right. So to let sleeping dogs lie is when you have a problem that's not worth fixing or confronting. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you may have an issue, but it could make the issue bigger, mm-hmm, if you try and face it.
Yeah.
So let's imagine that you have a friend who's really annoying, and you're living with them and they just leave the dishes out. And it's a small thing, but it really annoys you. Well, you could say something to them about them being unclean in the house.
You're going to cause a drama.
But if you do that, you're going to cause drama, and maybe they will say, I hate you, and leave the house.
So just let sleeping dogs lie. Yeah. Live a peaceful life.
Yeah, the idea being that if you wake a dog up, it's going to attack you. So sometimes it's better just for the dog to be peaceful and dreaming about bones or something.
Leave the dishes in the sink. Don't worry.
Yeah.
This one, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Mm. I think it comes down to the idea that in that situation, in a situation where a dog has to survive, they would attack.
They would attack. Yeah, so, but to translate the meaning from the literal sense here, it means that we live in a world of intense competition. A world that doesn't care, a world which is a world of fighting. So a dog-eat-dog world is a world that doesn't care, basically. There's a lot of competition.
Like, you would do what you need to do to be on top or to win.
Survival of the fittest.
Exactly.
Win at all costs, that's what it means. So, like, a dog-eat-dog world, you could use this when it seems the world is very unkind.
Yeah.
I would say.
That's a good phrase. Dog eat dog world.
Sick as a dog. Do you want to do that one? Or shall I?
You do sick as a dog.
Sick as a dog. you could do puppy love at the end. All right.
Okay.
So sick as a dog just means very sick. That's it. I don't know. I don't really
understand
why. I
think it means like an uncontrollable sickness. Like if a dog is going to be sick.
Right.
Is it, I'm quite literal with these, is it like vomit sick or you feel sick and if a dog is not feeling good, they can't do anything about it. So you're sick as a dog. You're lying in bed, you can't control what you do and you feel gross. You're sick as a dog.
I just interpret this to be very sick.
Yeah.
I don't
this
really.
This one's quite literal.
Yeah.
And I think as well because if a dog is a little bit ill, they get on with it. Whereas you know if a dog is sick. So you're really quite ill.
Yeah. So if you're sick as a dog, you're extremely ill.
You feel pretty gross.
Pretty gross. Gross being disgusting.
So disgusting. can't teach an old dog new tricks. This is like when... So, for example, my mum cannot use her iPhone. I don't know why she owns it.
Yeah.
She had like a really basic handset that she used. She got her iPhone. You can't teach that old dog new tricks.
No.
She's only going to call people. She's not going to download apps. She's not going to do anything with it. That's an example.
Yeah, my mum is exactly the same thing. As phones have got better, she's got worse at using them.
Yeah,
same
as my mum.
Because there's too many options now.
Yeah. So the idea being that when a dog is a puppy, they absorb, the same as a young child, they absorb information and things like a sponge. They soak it all up.
What's a sponge?
A sponge is like an absorbent material.
Yeah, something you use it to clean dishes.
Yeah, but when you get a sponge wet, it sucks all the water and holds it in. So that's the same as learning things. And as a dog gets older, they really can't be bothered to learn as much. They're not as interested. That's the idea behind that one.
His bark is worse than his bites.
This is a good one.
I like this one a lot. So his bark is worse than his bite means that, how to describe this? So it's like when you get a small dog that can bark very loud, but if it actually attacked you, it would not be able to do anything. So sometimes this is true of people as well. So
it's like if you meet someone who's quite confrontational or they want to, you feel like they might want to have an argument, but actually then they don't.
Yeah. Or if sometimes with people who, you know, maybe they threaten other people a lot and they make it seem like they're a very hard person, a very tough person. But then
they're not going to fight you. They're not going to bite.
As soon as things get intense, they sit down.
Yeah. It's like, how much time have we got left? It's like bravado. isn't it? Where you
yeah.
puff up and you act like a big man or woman, or really you just need a hug.
Yeah. All right, we got one more, which I'm going to let you do.
Puppy love.
So what's puppy love?
This is a way to describe someone. Is it like a first love? This is when yeah. someone is infatuated with someone.
Infatuated?
This might be like your... Infatuated is when you're almost obsessed with someone, but not mm-hmm. creepy, adorable.
Yeah. That's a good... Yeah, so it's a...
Obsessed with someone in a good way. So puppy love might be the first time someone's in love and they follow that person around with like what we say puppy dog eyes. That's another idiom. Where when you have a puppy and their eyes are so big and they're so cute, you want to do anything for them.
Should just explain as well. So a puppy is a baby dog.
A baby dog, like a young dog. And they have like shiny eyes and they just, puppy love. So that is what puppy love means.
Perfect. All right. So thanks so much again for agreeing to do this.
You're welcome.
And take care.
Take it easy. Thanks.
As always, if you enjoyed the show, please remember to head to lovetolearnenglish.com, where you can find full transcripts for all of the episodes with the best vocab and tips to help you speak English the way it is spoken on the streets. Also, I'd like to remind you guys that you can find me on Instagram @lovetolearnenglish. See you there.